databases make me anxious. But Harrisonburg's Renee Paralek loves them. I met Renee through Twitter, where she describes herself as living a techie life in the burg with lots of big ideas in the work. So, of course, I wanted to know what that was about.
When I first set up my Twitter profile was during a time when I was doing my business full time. And a lot of what I do with my business is web development, database development. And in the process of doing that and just in my day-to-day life, I come up with a lot of ideas for technology products, apps, websites, and I don't end up developing most of them, but I'm just feel like I'm constantly coming up with ideas. So that's why I said lots of big ideas in the works, because that's what I'm always doing.
They're pinging around inside your head.
Yes. Okay. Constantly coming
your
out.
Your business.
Yes.
Your business is?
NeoCentials. We do websites for nonprofits, professors, government subcontractors, and we do databases that help people set up for conferences or plan moving things around an office. We had one customer that they had a government computer system, which means that every desk had three computers to get on each of the different secure networks. So they had to track what software and hardware was at each seat, and the seats were mobile. So the database would track where the person was physically sitting in the building and what access they had to hardware and software so they can rearrange people into teams.
And you set that up?
Yes.
It makes me slightly dizzy to think about it.
Well, I love databases. That's one of my core areas.
And, you know, I tend to make the getaway vampire sign when I'm confronted with a database. So we have a lot to talk about. Now, you said we when you were talking about
yes,
your business.
I have a business partner. He was my professor in Integrated Science and Technology Department at JMU. And we started the business right after I graduated, and that's why I stayed in Harrisonburg. And 10 years later, now we're engaged to get married.
You want to mention any names?
Dr. Teat in the ISAT department. Okay. A lot of people listening probably know him as a professor.
Okay. And you get very pink-cheeked when you talk about this. I noticed that engagement ring.
Yes.
And wondered if there was a story. But you graduated from college,
mm-hmm.
and instead of getting a job, you start a business. Where
yes.
did that kind of chutzpah come from?
Well, the summer before I graduated, I did some work with Dr. Teat, Tony, on a book that he was writing to use in his course, which was development of active server pages websites. And so my job was to test all the labs in the book and to help edit the text. So I got to play around with technology and programming, and realized also in taking a course from him that I was pretty good at designing databases. So the combination of knowing I was good at the database part and having that experience of working on the book, I felt like, why not give this a try? You know, instead of going back to Northern Virginia, where there's a lot of traffic, but that's where a lot of the tech jobs were, I thought I'd give it a try and start out here. And we had a few projects to start with. One of them was the database I mentioned earlier, where we're tracking hardware and software in a government agency. And I got really good feedback from that customer, and it just, we had back-to-back projects for a long time, large and small, and that's why I just stayed in Harrisonburg.
You keep talking about your love for databases.
Yes.
Okay. Let's start with just a very basic definition of what a database is and mm-hmm. why you're attracted to that.
Okay. A database is really just a way to store information. So, for instance, if you have an address book, that's a database. It has first and last name of a person, their address, city and state, and it will be organized, you know, by maybe sorted by last name. But a database takes it one step further, where you might have multiple sets of information that are tied together. So for a relational database, for instance, with the address book, maybe each person in there has a list of children. So in a database, you might have the primary record being the individual with their address, and the secondary table could have a list of children, but it's tied back to the original record using an ID or a name of the original person. So that's a relational database. So you have two tables that are linked by some ID number. And data is pervasive nowadays. It's everywhere. Anytime you log onto the internet, you're giving up a lot of data. But companies need to track information about people. And that has to be set up properly so that when you query the database, which is, you know, asking a question of the database to return information, that it gives you the right information back. So the design of the database is really important, how those tables are linked together. And we learned how to do this in a class in ISAT, and I found out that I was good at it.
That was the first time you'd done a database?
Yes, was in college
was
at JMU.
Mm-hmm. Did you want to take this class, or was it part of required?
I had the option of taking this series of courses, and it was part of that series. And I didn't know I was that interested in it at first, but it kind of just felt natural to me, where a lot of people were struggling with it. The design, the relationships made sense to me.
Where'd that come from? Do you know?
I don't know. Maybe just, I like to think that I have the ability to see the big picture of something and see how things fit together. It's almost like a puzzle. So maybe it's a puzzle solving type of talent. I'm not sure.
And what's involved in setting up a complex database?
Well, for instance, the one that I did for the government agency with hardware and software and locations, you have to have a table for each type of information. So you would go into a piece of computer software. In my case, I use Microsoft Access, mm-hmm. and set up a table for each type of entity. So you would have a table for the computer, a table for the location, table to store the different pieces of software, and on and on. This database got very expansive. And then you have to think about how it all fits together in a logical way. And you literally drag lines between the tables and the software to indicate which fields are bring the two tables together.
Which so, are the linking
yes.
units.
So you drag lines to link the tables together, and you specify what type of relationship it is. So a common one is called a one-to-many relationship. So in the example I gave with people in an address book and their children, the one side of the relationship would be the individual, and the many side would be the children. So you're saying that one person can have many children, but each child can only be linked to one parent.
You as a girl, what was going on at home that developed this mindset in you?
When I was young, my dad got me involved in science and technology very early.
Is he a scientist?
He's a tinkerer. So he works with, at the time he was doing robotics and computer programming for IBM. And he would bring things home. And so we had a computer pretty early on. I got to play very early computer games. Also, we would do little projects, like he wired up my dollhouse and I got to help him. We made an electrified dollhouse. So my grandmother and my mom had made a dollhouse out of a kit. So it was a standard wooden dollhouse, and they decorated it and put curtains and sewed things. So I got to be a little bit of part of that, of learning how to sew. And I just like building things. So I guess he saw that in me and decided to add on this project. And we put together a circuit board with little LEDs and made little lamps out of beads and made the dollhouse electric with little plugs, and you could plug in the lights.
It sounds as though you had your father's sort of omni-interest tinkering mindset.
Yes.
And in terms of being a really serious IT person, what's it been like being a girl? Do you feel that at all?
At first I didn't, because when I was in ISAT, there were a lot of other girls in the program, and, you know, JMU has a lot of female students. So I didn't sense it at first, and actually my first major project with the government contractor was a woman-owned company. So early on, I didn't really have a sense that, and I did most of my projects alone. So I wasn't in the corporate world. I didn't have a sense that I was really a minority in this world, though I knew from stories from other women that I was. And so over time, just being connected on the internet through Twitter and through other companies and just talking with other women online that are also in my position, maybe in other companies, I've started to sense what a rarity it is to be a female, especially a programmer, to do anything with programming and be a woman is rare these days, sadly.
Why do you think that is?
I feel like it's because, and I'm going to make a lot of generalizations
you
about women
ahead.
In general. I know
yes.
this doesn't apply to everybody.
Yes, we'll put the caveat out there.
But I think a lot of girls don't get involved with the high-tech courses early on. And then by the time they get to college, they feel like they're already behind their male counterparts. When I went to college, I didn't want to do programming. I was frustrated with my experience in computers in high school. And then I just tried out these courses and had a few really great teachers, and it opened my eyes to the fact that you can be a beginner in college and still make it. And I think a lot of girls don't get that experience. You may take a first-year computer science course, and you might be one of four women in the class. It may not be that all the guys are way ahead of you, but you might see, you know, 50% of the class are people that have taken computer science courses before. So they're already ahead of you. So you're already feeling behind. And I think that's very discouraging. So I wish I could get the message out there to more women that are girls going into college that it's okay to be a beginner in this industry. And things are changing so fast and new programming languages are coming out all the time. So if you learn the core basics of programming and designing systems and understanding how computers work and how programming works, you can really jump in at any point in your life. I've been reading a book. I just started a book last night, actually, that's called Close to the Machine. It's by Ellen Ullman. And one thing she mentioned that really resonated with me was that when you work with technology, you have to be both very arrogant in terms of believing that you can learn anything and really knowing that if you put your mind to it, you could build it. And then also being willing to be a complete failure because you can really run up against a lot of brick walls when you're learning technology or when you're developing, and there could be a bug in your code that you can't find, and you really have to be willing to admit what you don't know and deal with a lot of failure and frustration while still feeling like you can do it. So it's a combination of being totally humble and being totally arrogant is what gets you through. There's one thing I thought of recently that I don't know if I can properly explain it, but I was thinking of it as there's a game that I used to play when I was young, one of the early games that my dad let me play on his computer called Lemmings. And the Lemmings are these little troll-looking people that walk from left to right across the screen, and they have floppy hair, and as they walk, their hair flops and they bounce in a rhythm. And the purpose of the game is to... these lemmings drop out of a hatch and you have to get them to the other hatch at the other end. But there's all these pitfalls and hills in the way. And I was thinking of this as an example of coding, that if you can have the right mental state to solve puzzles like that, you can be a programmer. And so I want to get the message out to young people that a lot of these puzzle games require logical thinking, problem solving. If you fail, you have to start over and you have to keep plugging at it. You might play the same level of Lemmings 30 times until you figure it out. Or it's like Angry Birds. You might play Angry Birds 30 times until you just hit the right combination. And you need that mindset in order to do programming. Just keep hacking at it until you figure it out. And there are many different ways to solve a computer programming problem. There's no one way. So there's creativity involved. And I just would like to get that message out there that if you can play a puzzle game, you can probably program that puzzle game also.
You'll find a link to Renee Parlek's business website, as well as pictures of her and her electrified dollhouse, on the Spark page at WMRA.org.